After a one-point victory over Temple, then it was one of the few times Kentucky's been a tremendous underdog for a ball game, facing Seattle in the finals for all the marbles. Coach, you're up with the great Elgin Baylor. You were given not much chance. How did you come up with a strategy that carried you to victory there?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I've never revealed this, but I think sometimes you give the coach all the credit for everything, but then the coach doesn't need the credit if you win. Of course, if the athletic board gives him a nice raise, that's an important thing, and I think they overlooked me that year, too. But everybody thought that Kansas State would win, and the Kansas State broadcasting staff asked me to sit there with them, and they were bragging and bragging and bragging about how good they were. Being a native Kansan, they wanted me to comment all during the game, and I could see that I was commenting about the wrong team. And so at the half, I went home with my boys. I wanted to take them downtown, feed them, and get them in their rooms and get them away from the mob, which always likes to come around and make a lot of noise and bother the kids. Sure, they want them to win, but they don't hesitate a minute to bother them and bother them as much as they can. And so I put the boys to bed and kept them away from the crowd. We came through again with a very definite plan. And we changed that also because a man came to me, and I had a policeman guarding my door. I didn't want to be bothered by anybody. And so he insisted that there was a man there that wanted to talk to me. And this man came in. He said, "Now, Coach," he says, "I can tell you something about this Seattle team. If you want to hear it, it's all right with me if you don't forget about it." And he told me a few things, and I said, "That sounds all right." So I called Coach Lancaster. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm trying to get a little rest." And I says, "Well," I says, "get dressed." And I says, "Come down here, I want to talk to you." And we went over this thing, and he said, "Well, that sounds all right to me." I said, "Get our boys up about 20 minutes early, and let's change our entire plans." We changed the entire plans of the game, and of course it didn't work out then the way we planned it, because we thought Baylor would guard Beck, because Beck was not a tremendous scorer. But the night before, Kriegler hadn't scored a point. So imagine my surprise when Baylor was guarding Kriegler out on the floor. So immediately I told Kriegler to drive on him. And of course the rest is history, because Kriegler got him in foul trouble. And as he got him in foul trouble, of course, he couldn't guard. And then we made him go into a zone. When they went into a zone the last half, of course, we tore that zone to pieces. And of course, went on to win.
There are 29 seconds to go. The national championship lays on that line. Kentucky leads 80-70. Bernard Hatton moves in against Francis Saunders. Here's the tap to Don Mills. Under the basket, Cox lays it in. Johnny Cox gets his 10th field goal. He leads Elgin Baylor in that department. Here it is under the basket to Frizzell. Frizzell laying in his first field goal of the second half. Kentucky is on top now, 82-72. Here it is to Don Mills, whips it over. Vernon Hatton jumps, lays it in. And for Vernon Hatton, that's his 8th field goal. There are only 5 seconds to go. Kentucky has a 12-point lead. Elgin Baylor takes the last shot of the ball game. No good. And the the national champion Kentucky Wildcats. Don Mills being mobbed by Kentucky partisans. Vernon Hatton, everybody pours out on the floor from the Kentucky bench. There are flash bulbs going off that almost blind you as Adolph Rupp digs his way through the crowd, finds Johnny Castellani in center floor, gives him a big hug. Both coaches slap each other on the back and part quickly as every move Adolph Rupp makes is being recorded by movies and still cameras. There is a mob scene under the Kentucky basket off to our right as handshakes go around. The first guy to congratulate Adolph Rupp is Earl Atkins, who went out, gave him a big handshake, a pat on the back, and now the kisses come from the cheerleader. The ushers line up around the court to keep all the spectators out. The Kentucky cheerleaders lead the parade. Here's A.B. Happy Chandler in the middle of the huddle now. This will absolutely, beyond a doubt, go down as the coaching year for Adolph Rupp. Took a team that many thought was not strong enough to win the conference title, was not strong enough to put a single man on the all-conference team, but has been strong enough to come out and take the national championship for the fourth time.
Coach, you're up to reminisce about some great games. One that comes to my mind was in 1959 when you took on the team that was later to win it all, the NCAA championship, Ohio State.
Oh, I'll never forget that game as long as I live. There was Lucas, Siegfried, Havlicek, Roberts, and that crowd. I'll never forget that game. They came in at the half. They were shooting 60 to 65%. And they had us down, I don't know how. They had us down badly at the half. And we didn't change a great deal, except you just have to tighten your defense in a case of that kind. And but the thing we did, we put in the shuffle. And I don't think Ohio State had ever seen the shuffle. And they were not able to handle the shuffle. And we kept pecking away at their lead. And before they knew what happened, we had an 8-point lead with about 5 or 6 minutes to go. And we hung on to that lead. And I think we gave them the last basket just to be sure that we didn't foul in the attempt, and I think we won by 3 points. But my, that was a basketball game. One of the best, I believe, that I've ever seen.
Back to play at the Coliseum here in Lexington. Out of bounds, Gerhardt of Ohio State to Siegfried. The clock ticking, 30 seconds to go. He pumps to Lucas under the basket. He falls away and shoots, no good. With a rebound is Carroll Burchett. He's fouled, though, immediately from the rear by Havlicek of Ohio State, his third foul. There are 23 seconds to go. Ohio State is fouling just as quickly as they possibly can. So far, no deliberate foul has been called. Burchett is on the free throw line. He'll shoot one with a bonus reel in effect. Burchett has been tremendous on those boards here in the clutch minutes of the game. Here's Burchett's free throw, and it's good. He'll have a bonus try. This is Burchett's big night. 12 points, previous high 6 in Colorado State game. Burchett's bonus shot up. It is good. Kentucky 94, Ohio State 89. The longest lead the Wildcats have had, 20 seconds. Siegfried shoots good from 21 feet. They had his fourth field goal of the half. Kentucky battles to get it in play as Furry knocks it back over the head of Feldhaus. 10 seconds to go. Now Lickert will put it in play. Out of bounds, gives to Sid Cohen. He's immediately fouled now by Gerhardt of Ohio State. Gerhardt grabbing him right around the waist for his second foul of the game. And 4 seconds remain to play. Ohio State had a 15-point lead in the first half, 55 to 40. The Cats battle back to outscore them 9 to 4 before halftime ended up 59-49 Ohio State. Now they're on top by 5 as Sid Cohen's at the line, 2 for 3. Cohen shoots, it's good. There are now only 4 seconds to go. The Cats lead 95-91. 4-point edge for the Wildcats. Feldhaus and Lickert backed up at midcourt in safety. Cohen shoots good. 96-91. Out. Timeout, Ohio State, and the clock didn't tick a second. How about that one? Ohio State pulled a sneak attack then. They got the ball in play, gained half the length of the court, and not a second ticked off of the clock. There are still 4 seconds to play. In the scoring battle tonight, Jerry Lucas of Ohio State has 15 points this half and 34 for the ball game. For Bill Lickert, he has 13 this half and 29. Lucas has outscored Lickert by 6. It has been a tremendous ball game. If we were going to say which has been Kentucky's biggest effort, we would say without comparison, this game. And this team is the stoutest looking team that we have seen. The Wildcats have played some good ones too. Ohio State's ball at midcourt, out of bounds, Gerhardt. Passes into Siegfried. Over to Havlicek from 20 feet, he shoots, it's good, the ball game's over. The goal counts. Havlicek gets the field goal to make the final score. Kentucky 96, Ohio State 93.
One of the greatest holiday classics in all of college basketball is Kentucky's own tournament. Coach Rupp, it must have been especially gratifying in 1961 when your team, after losing it 2 years in a row, came back to defeat Kansas State.
Well, it certainly was, because it is time for us to win. Now, we always try to get the best teams in there that we can get, as you well know. For a long time, we always got the NCAA champion and the NIT champion in there. But, of course, that's difficult to do now because you have to get these teams as many as 3 and 4 years in advance if you want to get the good teams. Since we started this tournament, everybody now wants to get a holiday tournament started, and, of course, we still don't have any trouble getting them. But I remember that game. We had a very fine basketball game with them, and I think we won by 80-69, as I recall the score. Is that correct, Kaywood?
Let me see. I have to look
I'm up. Sure that's right. I'm sure that's
80-67.
Right. 80-67. All right, 80-67. And it was very gratifying because we really had a win.
Kansas State brings Peitman back to the lineup. McDonald on the Kentucky free throw line, one plus. He has not been up previously. He's only the seventh Kentucky Wildcat to play tonight. He hits his third point. A second shot for the Louisville St. X senior. Kentucky is ahead by 13, twice ahead by 15. McDonald misses. Feldhaus rebounds for Kentucky, moves out of there with it. Passes deep to Percival. 25 seconds left. Kentucky has not won its own invitational in the last two tries. Feldhaus to Basler. Basler holding the ball, drives for the basket, fouled by Warren Brown with 17 seconds to go. Brown draws his second foul, and Basler goes to the line. Basler, one plus. He misses, and that's the first free throw that Basler has missed tonight after seven in a row. 80-67, Kansas State's got it. Up into front court, Davidson from 25 feet misses. McDonald with a rebound for Kentucky. 5 seconds to go. McDonald double-teamed in backcourt, has it batted away, and the game is held up at 2 seconds. Because it went to the crowd, they stopped it, where Larry Percival will put it in play. 2 seconds to go. Percival, a baseball pass to Basler, who lets it roll out of bounds, and the game is over. So the Kentucky Wildcats have stormed to their sixth win tonight, and a big one it is, over third-ranked Kansas State. So it's 80-67 in favor of the Kentucky Wildcats. And we'll tell you the scoring in just a moment.
Coach Rupp, you have always said the mark of a great team is a team that can win the close ones. I have a game in mind against Vanderbilt in 1961.
I'll never forget that one either. I believe that is a one-pointer. And we have always had some great games against Vanderbilt because it's not only a strong basketball team and a constant threat in the Southeastern Conference every single year, but it's such a well-coached team. And they, of course, always want to defeat Kentucky the way every other school in the Southeastern Conference does. But the mark of a great team is the ones they win, and those are the close ones.
This is Claude Sullivan from the Coliseum, Lexington, where we stand on the brink of a tremendously thrilling ball game. Kentucky 58, Vanderbilt 57. 1 minute and 7 seconds remain to play, and the Commodores, who called this timeout, are ready to resume action. Kentucky, already losing Percival and Lickard on personals at the midpoint of the second half, make no change in the lineup. Kentucky, which now goes from an offensive to a defensive problem, stop these Commodores. We are ready to go. Bob Polk off the bench yelling something as the pass comes in to John Russell. We're back to play. Lobbed into the pivot to Bill Depp. Jump shot over Jennings. Good. And as Bill Depp hits it, Vanderbilt with 12 straight points has come on top 59-58. Dick Parsons back in front court for the Wildcats. Gives it over to Roger Neilman into pivot to Jennings. It's taken away from him by Griffiths of Vanderbilt, who lays it up. No good. Taps it up. No good. The ball is out of bounds. Kentucky. There are 40 seconds left. Kentucky wants a timeout. They get it with 38 seconds left and the ball in backcourt. Parsons is the man that will put it in play. Burchett, Feldhaus, and Jennings remain in Kentucky's front court. Just Neilman is in backcourt with Dick Parsons. Parsons out of bounds. Has not received the ball yet. Now he's got it. Looks for his man. Gives to Roger Neilman. Neilman unopposed. Vanderbilt falling back now. Roger Neilman brings it up into front court for the Cats. Down by 1 point. 30 seconds to go. Over to Feldhaus, to Parsons. It goes to Jennings, jump shot at the free throw line, got it! Ned Jennings gives Kentucky a 60-59 lead, 20 seconds to go. Up in the front court, Russell for Vanderbilt, looks at Depp, gives it to him in a pivot,
He comes out of there, passes back to Russell, 12 seconds. He fakes, drives. Roger Newman bats it out of bounds. 8-7, the seconds ticking away. Russell has not gotten the ball yet. 4 seconds to play. The pass into Griffiths, batted down. Russell missed the shot. That is it. It's all over, and Kentucky has won the ball game. It's all over. Kentucky has won a miraculous finish. Ned Jennings.
Coach Rupp, we've listened to some exciting moments of Kentucky basketball past, but I think I would be remiss if we didn't bring up a team in 1966 that was called Rupp's Runts that really captured the fancy of the crowd.
Well, I think that was, I would have to say, the greatest team that has ever assembled on a basketball floor. I heard many people say this summer, I had many coaching schools all over the United States. I've had coach after coach tell me that is the best ball-handling team that they have ever seen. I believe that. I'm sincere. I was prepared to make the statement that if we had won that last game, that was the greatest basketball team that had ever been turned out in collegiate ranks. And, of course, you know the history of that team. And it is a small team, but certainly was a courageous team, a wonderful ball club, and it'll be a long, long time, I believe, until we're able to put together again a bunch of ball handlers the way we had in 66.
And the pass is into Dampier. He comes out of there, slips, and gets away from Martin. 14 seconds. He's in front court with the ball. He hooks one to Cron. Over to Riley. 10 seconds. Out to Conley. Back to Riley. Riley comes out, gives to Conley. There's a foul on the play. Waller fouled Berger with 6 seconds. Adolph Rupp talking now with Larry Conley on the sidelines, and Berger's first shot, good! Berger has given Kentucky a three-point lead. Now, hit or miss, you'll see Kentucky give Georgia a field goal. 6 seconds, the shot on the way, good! Berger hits again. Georgia's got the ball. 5-4, Martin, Harsher, shot, no good, and the ball game is over. Kentucky beat Georgia in two overtime periods, 69-65.
The raw material varied from year to year, but the results were always the same. Success. You have heard great moments from basketball's finest era. The coaching years of University of Kentucky coach Adolph Rupp. The man in the brown suit who led team after team to the laurel wreath of victory in the Southeastern Conference and the nation. The voices which preserved great moments in Kentucky basketball were those of the late Claude Sullivan, Adolph Rupp, and Kaywood Ledford.